Off the Ball Rugby.
I picked Sam Prendergast.
Would you?
Yeah. That's not to take anything away from Mac Hansen and James Lowe. They're wonderful players. They're incredible footballers. You know, so there's still a very good team there.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Liverpool's a phenomenally difficult place to go, whether it's with, when it was Chelsea or Everton. It's a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere, I felt, at Goodison. But then again, I would do because I was playing there. I absolutely, deeply love that ground. The pitch is beautiful. Everything's fantastic. You ask me questions. The difference between the two? I've got to try and annoy some Liverpool fans. The referee. Oh. He gets sawed all when you go there. And I still remember two penalty kicks that I didn't get in derbies at over at Anfield. And I swear to God, to this day, it still annoys me to hell. But apart from that, it's all right. It's great fun.
What happened with those two penalty incidents? Who was involved?
First one was Gary Ablett, basically half man two. And it was him. See, if you look up in a kind of a dictionary of what a penalty is, there's a picture of that there, right? And it's like, he didn't give it, right? Referee didn't give it. He's ridiculously stupid. And there was another one which was in front of the cop. And I think it was Ronnie Whelan. Because there were so many Irish players like Steve Staunton, yeah. Ray, Ronnie, John Aldridge, etc. This man here. But I went through and I basically got through and I'd gone beyond him and I was just getting to the penalty spot to take on Grobler and he clipped it with his hand. He grabbed my leg and I went flying and I turned around and the referee's going, yeah, play on. Went, what? Couldn't believe it. So it's, I mean, you play hundreds and hundreds of games and you think about it, you don't remember that many of them. You remember the Merseyside derbies. Mm-hmm. You absolutely remember them. And I have to say, before we finish, the 3-2 Cup final was one of the great and most momentous games, but we played in a phenomenal game. It was 4-4. Yes. And anybody who saw that or was at that at Goodison Park, I hope your ears have recovered.
Like in a political debate, Mark, we will give you the right of reply there. Do you acknowledge there was a softness towards Liverpool at Anfield?
What's he on about? He's on drugs. Gary Ablett couldn't tackle anything as well, by the way. But I think, you know, from my point of view, the best day we had there was when we beat them 5-0 at Goodison. And they just signed Glenn Keely on loan from Blackburn Rovers and he got sent off after, I think, 24 minutes for pulling Kenny Dalglish back. Kenny was through on goal. And we ended up winning 5-0, of which Rushy scored four. And I scored the last one at 55-yard or not. But the thing about that day, that particularly, because that was the best day for me, was that we actually could have won by a massive margin. Because Neville Southall was unbelievable. He made so many brilliant saves. It's one of those days where everything we did was right and it worked. Big Nev was just. I saw him the other week as well. We were talking about it, and it could have been 10. And I do remember that particular day as well. We're about 10 minutes to go. Most of the Gladys Street had gone. They'd all gone and thought, wow, yeah. Embarrassment with a 5-0. But that was just a one-off because normally it was just so tight, all the games, home and away.
How's Neville Southall getting on? He was like the best goalkeeper in the world at one point, Mark, was he? I mean, that's how good he was.
Well, I'll tell you what, I did a thing with some of the Everton lads the other week and they were saying, they're all saying to a man, he was absolutely brilliant. And he was. And he was, but mad, completely nuts. And if you ever see him and look at him now, you'd ever think, how on earth did you ever, ever play football, even though you're a goalkeeper? Because he's put plenty of pounds on. But they all said he was the best goalkeeper. And at that time, he probably was.
Yeah, I remember interviewing Ian Rush and Neville Southall a couple of years ago together. And the record Southall had was 750 games for Everton, something ridiculous, and the goals. Yeah,
remember that time where he didn't go in at half time, he just sat by the goal.
I was playing.
Oh, yeah. Right. What are your memories of that one, Pat?
People misunderstood that completely. People actually thought that was, we were down 3-0 Leeds at half time. We actually got back to 3-2. Leeds had just come up. They actually won the league that year, but Neville just he was just Neville because he was mad and weird. I mean, I'm fairly weird. But I'm seriously normal in comparison to Neve. And David, it just didn't come out. It just started the post. We never noticed. He said, and I said, listen, I just wanted to get my head right. So I needed some quiet. So where'd you go for a quiet place in football? Where you sat in the pitch.
Pat, what about the time when I don't know if it was the same incident, but he didn't go in again and he took his goalkeeping shirt off and underneath it was, he had a logo on there saying, I love my missus.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not going to dig into that.
I tell you who could be gone very soon.
Go on.
Ange Postecoglou.
Segue. What a segue. So what did he say last night after the Bournemouth
game? Well, it wasn't so much what he said, actually, because he did his, which kind of now regular thing was, I don't want to say any more about that, it's not so on mine. Because he went over to applaud the Spurs travelling fans at the Vitality Stadium where they lost 1-0 to Bournemouth last night. It was a 1-0 hammering. And he said that he was given direct feedback by the Tottenham supporters. And when asked to elaborate on that, he said it's not the time to do that. But he actually did elaborate with saying, I didn't like what I heard. I'm a human being. And it reminds me of Antonio Conte, who amazingly went on that massive rant only last year. Mm. It was the start of last year, March 2023, when they drew 3-3 away to Southampton. And it was a game that they threw away. And Conte went on this amazing rant. It was basically one of the great unofficial exit interviews in a job. Because he was gone, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, minutes later. And he's fiddling around with the microphone and he's getting so exasperated. Remember that really, that famous Giovanni Trapattoni press conference at Bayern when he's smacking the desk. It's kind of like a softer version of that. But what he says, I think is amazing, is about the Spurs players and the culture. He says, they don't like playing under pressure. They don't like playing under stress. They're not used to competing for things. They don't win anything. It's easy for them. He's gone afterwards, right? And I'd say Postecoglou's heart is broken by this lot because it's a finely talented squad. Like Son Heung-min was on the bench last night. And I'm not sure if he's 100% fit. They could have just been rotating anyway. Pedro Porro came on. So quality players all around the gaff. Even though they're missing their main goalkeeper, Vicario Fraser-Forster, was in goal last night. Mickey van de Ven, Christian Romero were out. Mm. But their midfield was still very... Now, the defence was like a League Cup defence. Midfield was very strong.
Yeah.
Forwards is very strong. So more than enough to beat Bournemouth, who were a quality side, but Spurs should be beating them because they just beat Man City 4-0 at the Etihad. And I don't care what state Man City are in. If you go to the Etihad and win 4-0, that's something. But then they're losing at home to Ipswich, away to Bournemouth. They're going to drive him insane.
Mm.
And I'd say he could be along with Julen Lopetegui, Gary O'Neill and Russell Martin. Could be gone very soon. And then I was speaking to our resident Spurs fan, John Duggan, who said, it'll be the same thing again. They'll hire a new guy, he'll do all right, and then he'll leave in tears, metaphorically, because he's so broken by this lot. It all kind of goes back to the running of the club.
I don't know if that's true, though.
Well, who's broken the trend?
Well, like, if you want it, like, if we're being realistic about it, like, Pochettino got them... Well, I think they ended up finishing second in the end, didn't they? But effectively a title challenge.
The Leicester season.
Yeah, effectively a title challenge. But got them to Champions League. Like,
and they came second the year after, in fairness, as well.
Yeah.
And the Champions League final, when they were past their peak under Poch.
So I don't think win or fail is the equivalent of having to... If they don't win the league, then they've not broken. Like, that's a huge mark.
I guess it's the outrageous inconsistency.
Is there just not a case that perhaps he's not good enough?
Well, we've said the same thing about Conte. Jose Mourinho before that.
Yeah, but Jose Mourinho wasn't good enough. He was yesterday's man. He shouldn't have. That was a ridiculous appointment.
But what about Conte?
Conte, it's very hard to get a read on his career. He's doing extremely well now at Napoli, back where he's familiar. But like,
won the league with Chelsea now, in fairness.
No, it did. Like, he's obviously a fantastic manager, but I just don't know if that is necessarily indicative that Spurs is a big problem, that the club is a problem in and of it. Because I don't know what you're putting that down to. What's it like, this idea of culture and everything else? Like, it doesn't...
They have a seriously talented squad.
Incredible, yeah.
They have an amazing stadium. Now, I always think, you have an amazing stadium, so therefore you have to win the titles. That doesn't go like that. Like, it's just a nice gaff to play your football. But it's all set up to be a trophy-winning, trophy-challenging side. And they're just not. And that's why their fans are incredibly frustrated. And they've seen this film before.
Mm. Who did that? They've Manchester United in the Carabao Cup quarter-final.
Yeah.
Before Christmas. They could still challenge for a trophy this season. You never know, but...
It doesn't, but that doesn't... Like, Arsenal have won nothing of note in 20 years.
Like they've won the FA Cup couple
of times. That's not, I mean, that's fine. But like historically, on the course of the club in itself, it's won nothing of note. It's won nothing that they've kind
when
of...
When you say nothing of note, you mean the Premier League or the Champions League?
Premier League or the Champions League. They've not, for things that they were regularly winning, not the Champions League, obviously.
Arthur O'Day, an FA Cup snub.
Yeah. No, it's not. But no, let's be realistic about it. Like, that's not a measure of success for them. If they win the FA Cup this season, they won't be seen like, oh, Arteta's had a great season.
Not this season.
But so that's, because that's where they're at that level. But nobody is questioning... Like, it doesn't, no one's kind of, geez, there's a real culture problem at Arsenal. They can't get over the line. They can't, like,
There's a huge difference, though. Arsenal are a serious side. Like, they are a title challenging team. They've nearly won the league the last couple of years and they've blown it themselves.
But when Spurs nearly won the league. Spurs nearly won the
league. That was a good few years ago under Pochettino.
Like, 5 years. Which,
like, that was a great relationship.
Yeah.
That was.
So, like, then at that point, was the club not a problem?
Not at all, no.
So then,
everyone's very excited about them.
But then it's nonsense. Then the argument goes out the window.
So why did Conte say that?
Because he was failing. So it's easy to blame the thing around you to go, oh, this place is a shambles.
And so Mourinho, Conte and Pat all have in common that they blame...
You know full well with Mourinho. What had he done anywhere around that time, that
era?
He
got them to the League Cup final and then 6 days before that, he was sacked.
But he was toxic. Like, he's not. He's managing in Fenerbahce for a reason. He's in Turkey for a reason. And that's what we know full well, that he is not who he once was.
Okay, but we're putting Mourinho in the same category as Conte and Postecoglou here, in that they refuse to take responsibility for what's happening at Tottenham.
Well, that's clearly it, yeah. But it's not.
But it's an amazing that there's a trend there, isn't there?
Well, are you saying Postecoglou is not taking responsibility?
I mean, this is the argument that is saying, well, Postecoglou is not good enough. If Conte was also blaming the players, if Mourinho was. This is a culture, so they have poor recruitment of managers is one argument, or the other, which I would go along with, is that there's a huge problem at the club
and
that they drive managers insane.